Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
How fun it is to go to the Word of the Lord, and I open the Word, and guess what? I'm wondering whether or not any of you might know where we're going. First chapter, verse 4, do I have a shout? Verse 3 was good, and I mean good. And verse 4 continues with that same thing, because the Word of God just gets gooder and gooder all the time. And I just think it's wonderful. I'm going to read to you out of first chapter, verse number 4. Now, before I read, just let me talk to you just for a moment. The entire book is sharing with the providences of Hebrew believers throughout the land, that Jesus is greater, bigger, more superior than their traditions, than Moses, than the prophets, than the temple, any of that stuff. Jesus is the greatest. And they were hung up on angels, they were hung up on prophets, they were hung up on traditions of men. Couldn't get out of it. They were stuck in this religion. And here, this book is written to a group of people that knew religion, but hadn't gotten to the place of understanding the depths of who Christ really is. I've often said this, but I want to say it again. This is really the title of the message, is the preeminence of Christ. I'll explain that to you in just a moment, because really that doesn't mean anything to you, and it really ought to. But if you don't understand what it means, then you're not going to understand how it relates to you, the preeminence of Christ. This is a good time to put the title up for those of you in the back. Thank you. I'm going to read to you now out of Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 4. Now, just a few words, verse number 4. It says, having become so much better than the angels. I mean, what a thing. The preeminence, better. The word preeminence is a funny little word. The word preeminence means above all and before all and superior to all. Let me say it again. I want you to listen. Talking about Jesus being above all, before all, and superior to all. All things, everything, all life, all people. Superior, above, beyond we can ever ask or think, here's Jesus. Than we can ever express, here's Jesus. That's what preeminence means. Superior, above, before. Before there was ever anything, there was one who was superior, and his name is Jesus. The problem with it, when you hear that, it sounds great, and we all say amen to that, and that's wonderful, but deep down inside, that's great about God, but what about me? And I know you say God is great and God is superior and God is above and God is beyond anything we could possibly ever mention, but really, bottom line, where I'm at, I'm not getting answers to prayers. Where I'm at, my life isn't changing. Where I'm at, I'm having trouble with this or that. And that's great about God being so exalted and so wonderful, but how in the world does that relate to me? And if you don't know that, then just the fact that you understand the preeminence of Christ and don't know how to apply it causes you to fail in your activities. Because listen to what I'm going to say to you. Everything that you're ever going to do, say, or be that involves God is going to take a little product called confidence and trust, what we describe as faith. Most people that attend American churches, when you ask them about faith, they'll say, oh, I'm of the Lutheran faith, or I'm of the Methodist faith, or I'm of this Catholic faith, or I'm of some kind of system of belief. And when in fact it is not really faith at all. Faith is when you believe God for great things. Things you can't see, things you can't figure out, things you can't feel, things you don't know. You don't know how it's going to work, but you know God in His preeminence, in His superiority, the one who is above all and before all, comes in and makes a difference. That's faith. And without that understanding, you can understand how great God is, but never apply the greatness to your life. Because that's really important for us. Preeminence means above, before, and superior to all. If I know this, then it should change the way that I do things. Let me say it again. If I know the preeminence of Christ, then it should change the way I do things, how I approach my marriage, how I approach my business, how I approach life, how I raise my children, how I make business decisions, how I understand how I relate in this world. Because if I know the preeminence of Christ and how great He is and superior to everything else that's around me, then that ought to change my lifestyle and the way that I think. When you go to church, you hear about how much God is on your side. The question isn't about God being on our side. The question is whether or not we're on His side. And that's what's really the question in a church should be. It's really not how great God is. We need to know that. But we need to know it for a reason, so that when we look at life, we know that we have a great God behind us that's going to make a difference in the future. Without an understanding of that, we just bump along as Christians, saying, oh, God's great. And I don't ever get answers to prayer. God's wonderful, but how come my life really isn't changing? God is great, but I don't know, these mountains that are in my life, I can never move these mountains. They seem to always be there. They seem to keep coming up all the time. When you understand the preeminence of Christ, and then you put faith in the preeminence, the one who is above, beyond, superior to all. It makes all the difference in the world, in your home, marriage, business, finances, dreams, vision, destiny, future, whatever it is. It makes all the difference in the world. Because you're not just now approaching God in who you are, you're approaching the throne in who He is. And that builds a confidence and a trust inside of us that causes our prayers to be heard and our prayers to be answered. My friends, without it, it just doesn't seem to work. In Colossians, if you're there in your Bible, go with me to the book of Colossians and let's look at it together. In Colossians, the first chapter, in verse number 18, something fascinating is being said here. In verse number 18, it says, "And He is the head of the body, the church." I want you to stop right there. Speaking, notice a capital H in the word He. The word He refers to Jesus. That's why it's capitalized. And He is the head of the body. The body is you and I. The church, He's the head. We're the body. He comes along, so all of a sudden now He's talking about you and He's talking about me. Just don't misunderstand this. He says He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, speaking of Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. If He's the firstborn, who's the second? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. If there's a first, there's a second, third, fourth. See, somewhere along the line, when you got born of the Spirit of God, that's who you are. You might be 8 million or billion or whatever it might be, but you are one of those. He's talking about you. And then He comes along and He makes this statement, that in all things, He, capital H, Jesus, may have the preeminence. And sometimes we read that and we don't understand what it means, but it really means this, that in all things in your life, God's got to be bigger than anything else. In your life, He's bigger than your economic problems. In your life, He's got to be bigger than your marital strife. He's got to be bigger than what your children and where they're going. He's got to be bigger than your relatives. He's got to be bigger than the problems and issues of whether or not you have a job or don't have a job. God's got to be bigger than whether or not your husband acts a certain way or your wife acts a certain way. God's got to be what? Bigger. Preeminent. That's what it says. That in all things, not some things. And when I have an attitude as the church that my God is bigger than any problem, the problem immediately is going to go away and become solved, and I have now an open door to walk in faith. But when the problem becomes bigger than my preeminent Christ, let me say it again. When the problem becomes bigger than my preeminent Christ, one more time. When the problem becomes bigger than my preeminent Christ, I got problems. Real problems. And there's not a person here that's born of the Spirit of God that's got to realize this. Whatever problems you're facing, God's bigger. And when you take that and apply that in your faith, when you pray, it changes the world that you live in. If your problem is as big or bigger than your God, then you have no faith. And you have faith in your problem. Or the circumstances, or the situation, or the culture that we live in. He must be preeminent. And we listen too much to the world. What the world says is what we believe. And the world says there's no hope, or there's big failure, or there's recession. I want you to know something. Let me tell you something. What I believe is what God says. And we've got to get to a place. The world speaks all the time into your life. But what is it that you believe? Do you believe all the negative stuff that comes at you is what it's all about? Or do you believe that God is preeminent and somehow he'll make a way because he is superior. He is above all. When it looks like there's no hope because the world has spoken, do you know there's hope? Every day. Every day, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday, Sunday again, there's hope because he's the preeminent Christ. We listen to the world too much. I found this cool little verse in John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 31. I'll just pop it up on the overhead for you. Notice what it says. And he who comes from above, notice the capital H again, comes from above is above all. A lot of people say, man, I want you to know something. He's above all. I say amen to that until problems come, and then the problems become above who he is. He's above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Why do we listen? He who comes from heaven is above all. I want to hear what he has to say. And that's what we do every time we get into church. We're listening, finding out what he says from heaven that'll help us be what God would have us to be. You know why? Because we have a preeminent Christ who is superior and above all. Before there was anything, there was the one who was exalted above all. And he is with us. I like what it says in Revelation. The 1st chapter, verse number 11, just pop it up on the overhead. Just the first part of it's all I want to see. I am the Alpha, Jesus is speaking, and the Omega, the first and the last, settled, done deal. He's the beginning, he is the end. A lot of times in Christians, he is the beginning and we're not sure about the end. And when he's the beginning but you're not sure about the end, you have a problem. You're not sure how it's going to come out, you got a problem. If he's the beginning, he's got to also be the end. If he's the beginning, everything in between is controlled by him, and the end is amen. And it comes along, the first and the last. He's it all, above all. He's got it all. You ever thought about it? He's on your side. So when the verse comes along and said he's made better than the angels, we say amen to that. What does it really mean to us? It really means that every day, every situation, every personal encounter that you have, you've got to see the preeminent one who is above all and he is superior to all. He is before all. He is all in all. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the amen. It is a done deal the moment you get off the problem and get on the amen. Who is the preeminent one? Is anybody listening? So important for us. So what does all the preeminence have to do with me? what does this preeminence have to do with me? How should I face life? How should I deal with situations? His preeminence. You go to church 99% of the time, you hear about how great God is. Never how great God is in your life to do great things in you. We need to know how great he is so that we can understand that he cares about us and loves us. I found this series of great verses found in Romans, the 8th chapter. Will you go there with me? In Romans, the 8th chapter. Starting in verse number 31. In verse number 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? What things? The things that are troubling you, the problems, trials, tribulations, evil temptations, pressures of life that you have. The voices that come and tell you you're no good and you're a loser and you're a bum. The voices that come and tell you you can't make it. What shall we say about these things? If God is for us, I'm talking about the preeminent one. If the preeminent God, who's above all, before all, and superior to all, is on my side, then who gives a flip who's against me? Most of us don't see it that way. Trials and problems come. We bellyache to God. Our knees get weak. We fail. We fall. We say, how come, God? Let me tell you something. Trials and problems and pressures will always come. As long as you're on the planet, listen to what I'm saying to you. You control them. They don't control you because you have the preeminent one on your side. If God's for us, who can be against us? Verse number 32. He who did not spare his own son. You gotta stop right there. Talking about God the Father. Who didn't spare his son. But delivered him up for us all. Man, that is something else. He could have maybe sent some angels. He could have created some more planets. He could have created some more atmosphere. Could have done something different. If he can create man, he'd create something so there's no problems. Here's God sending his son to be beat a bloody mess and nailed to the cross, raised from the dead on the third day. And he did all of that just so you would know that there's nothing he would keep back from you. The preeminent one wants you to know that you are loved beyond even his own hurt and feelings. I'll love you a lot until you hurt me. I love you a lot until there's feelings involved. But God loves beyond the hurt and the feelings. I'll love you a lot as long as you line up. That's what our human love is all about. But here's a love that comes to us that he didn't spare because he is so preeminent before everything else and superior to everything else. And he says, and he takes it and nails it to the cross because he loved you so much and loved me so much. That in itself is bizarre. How shall we not with him? I love these words. How shall we not with him? Not by ourselves. How shall we not with him also freely give us? Here's the Father with the Son giving us everything you need. Because he's preeminent. He's not a tightwad. Not stingy. Doesn't want to hold back. Doesn't want to see a defeated, beat down. See, a lot of times in the human world, we want to beat people down so we can be lifted up. Because we're insecure. There's not an ounce of insecurity in God the Father. He's not interested in beating you down. The world beats you down because it's insecure, because it doesn't know the preeminent one. But for us, he loves us so much. Don't tell me God doesn't want to bless you. What does that verse say? Freely gives us what things? All things. Don't tell me God doesn't want to bless you. Don't tell me God doesn't want to enrich your life in every area, in your marriage, in your finances, in your dream, in your vision. He wants to meet your needs everywhere, at every turn. Don't tell me God doesn't want to bless you. He didn't go to that cross so that you'd be condemned and beat down. The Bible says he went to the cross and give you life and give it how more abundantly. A lot of people never experience abundant life. You know why? Because the preeminent Christ is really not before the things of the world. Really not before their feelings. A preeminent Christ and the problems, really not before their problems. Like I've said before, God will never bless you in your error, because you'll stay in error if you get blessed while you're in error. Verse 33 comes along, makes a statement that's pretty bizarre too. Who shall bring a charge against... Listen to this. I want to share three things with you real quick in these next three verses that are amazing. In your life and in my life, there will be attacks that will come against you to try to get you off track with God. The attacks are always the same. And they're designed to get you away from God. For an example, the people you used to know that served God 5, 6, 7 years ago probably don't serve God so much this day. Half of them don't even go to church anymore. You know it and I know it. There's a specific attack that wants to come and take you off track with God, so you're discouraged. Instead of seeing the preeminent one, the problems become bigger than the preeminent one. And it starts right there in verse number 33. Who shall bring a charge? Circle the word in your Bible, charge. There will always be someone who says something about you that makes you doubt about who you really are. There's somebody going to come along and say you're crazy. There's somebody going to come along and say it's not worth it. There's somebody going to come along and say you're nuts. In fact, there's a conference going on in Washington, D.C. It's called Bringing Back Sanity to America, put on by a fool comedian. And I want you to know something. The atheistic fool comedian is just absolutely somebody who doesn't even know what sanity is. Sanity is not being against God. Sanity is having God. And there will always bring a charge. But it says they're nobody. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Do you know who God's elect is? That's you. It is God who justifies. At the end, I want you to know, every knee shall bow. First thing that comes is a charge against you. Second thing that comes, verse 34, watch this. Who is he who condemns? Circle the word condemns. Somewhere along the line, they will pass sentence on you. They will say you're crazy. They will say it's not going to work. They will say it isn't worthless. They will say you're not having anything. They will condemn what you do. Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Man, right there says we've got the victory. Who is even at the, right hand of God. We know who's at the right hand. The one who's got the victory. The one who's got the provisions. The one who's got the glory. The one who's got the power. The one who's got all greatness. Who also makes intercession for us. Wait a minute. Jesus is the one who's praying for you. Some of you may feel alone, like you're all alone. Nobody really cares about you at all. But I'm here telling you, listen to this, the Son of God, creator of the heavens and the earth, one that went to the cross and was nailed to the cross and died for you. May I say this to you? He is praying for you even as we speak. Someone is praying for you right now that the condemning words and the passing sentence of the world will not affect you. Three areas. First, they'll charge you. Second, they'll condemn you. But I like this. I've got an intercessor. Verse 35. Who shall separate? Because the whole plan is to separate you. Get you off track with God. Get you away from God. Get you doing stuff for the world where the world becomes more eminent than the preeminence of Christ. When that happens, you and I fail. Who shall separate? You ought to circle the word separate us from the love of Christ. Then he makes a statement that's really a bold statement because of the preeminence of Christ. Here's how it is. And he says these words, shall tribulation, our distress, persecution, our famine, nakedness, peril, our sword. In other words, there's no pressure coming against you that can separate you from the love of God. God loves you. He's making intercession for you. Doesn't matter what the condemnation is. Doesn't matter what the charge is. I want you to know that nobody's going to separate you from God, the preeminent one. Which takes us to 36. It says, for your sake, it is written. Don't you see the word your up there? Capitalized. For your sake, Jesus, because I identify with you and been washed by your blood. Because you sit at the right hand of the Father and you intercede for me. You're the preeminent Christ, the Messiah. You're the deliverer of the people for you. We are killed all the day long. You know what that means? It means there's pressures coming at you all the time. Don't think the pressures are going to stop just because you become a Christian. Here's what happens. They stop because you see the preeminent one above the pressures. They're going to keep coming at you all the time. They're going to flow at you. They're not going to stop letting up because they're going to want to condemn you. They're going to want to pass a sentence and charge you. They're going to want to separate you. But I got good news. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus is making intercession for you. And guess what? We may be killed all the day long. And listen to this. And here's what Satan says about you. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Only Satan sees us that way. But God sees us differently because we have a preeminent Christ that is above all of this attack. Which brings us to verse 37. 37 says it like this. Yet, in all these things, yet, in all the persecution, all the charges, all the sentencing, all the condemnation, all of the separation that wants to come, all these things that come, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're not just conquerors, we are more because He is a preeminent Christ. Boy, that's wild. That's wild. It goes on to say this. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present are things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My Bible says love never fails. Today, as we have come into the house of God, He is a preeminent Christ. He is above all. He is before all. He is superior to all. And He is on your side.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.